One of my favorite statements of John found in this passage of Scripture that Josh just read for you. In verse 30 of John chapter 3, John, talking about Jesus, says that he must become more important and I must become less important. Or as the King James says, he must increase and I must decrease. John's words remind us that we have a problem with self. In fact, the world really pushes the number one. If you don't take care of self, who else will? Numero uno. Be number one. The problem with that is that whenever it comes to exalting self in our spiritual life, we have to take away from the master. The more of self, the less of the master. And we know that Satan is behind this concept of self. The unholy trinity, me, myself, and I. In fact, it goes way, way, way back. I mean, it's not something he just, I thought of this here just recently. Let's try to get the world to focus more on self. No, it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where Satan's temptation of Eve was, if you'll eat of this tree, you'll be more important. You'll be a god. Only reason why God doesn't want you to do this is because he wants to be superior. He doesn't want you to excel. And so this idea of Satan to get us to be more self-focused. And we can see this in our worldly commercials and ads. You know, they're all about you. You owe it to yourself. Buy this car because you owe it to yourself. Make you look good. You'll be important. So we're bombarded on every side. And this is the world that our children are growing up in. Not that that the children of the past haven't, but it's just so much more visible. Satan has put a lot more fire into this area of temptation. Be self-focused. Have you ever thought about how that even in the word sin itself is spelled S-I-N. Right in the middle of sin is the big I. And when we look at the passages of Scripture like Galatians chapter 5, where we find listed there Paul gives us the sins of the flesh. You listen to these as Paul lists them, and you see how many involve the big I, myself. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like. Just also as I've told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You see, in all of those sins of the flesh, you find that self-indulgence. And psychologists tell us that a focus on self will lead to complex. A superiority complex, thinking that you're more important than you are, or an inferiority complex, thinking that you're less inferior. But nevertheless, whenever we deal with I and the importance of I and selfishness, it's going to lead to some complex problems. No doubt about it. And the thing about what John was saying is that as Jesus grew, he had to decrease. As he increases, I must increase. As he becomes more important, I have to become less important. And in the passage of Scripture, John's disciples were trying to get him to step up his game because they were saying, this man's taking your place. People are following him now, and they're not following you. And even his very own were encouraging him, don't let this happen. And John was trying to explain to him, this is exactly what's supposed to happen. I'm not the Christ, he said. I'm just the one that came before to tell the world he's coming. This is what I've been waiting for. I'm ready for this. And as he becomes more important, I have to become less important. Jesus, in his parable or story about the rich fool, in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 26, tells us here about this farmer who becomes very, very successful. But in his success, he forgets about God. It begins by saying, then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. Why did it yield plentiful? Who gave the sun? Who brought the rain? Whose earth was it to begin with? But as we go on, as Jesus continues to tell the story, notice how this individual forgets all about God. And he thought within himself, that's trouble right there. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? He said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Where was God? Where was God's sunshine? Where was God's rain? Where was God's glory? Did you see any? He couldn't talk about God for talking about me, myself, I, my. And we look at that parable, we look at that story, and we say, boy, he was not giving God any glory. Us. How often? often are we taking God's great blessings for granted? Let's see what God said to him, okay? Verse 20 says, "But God said to him, 'You're a fool. This night shall your soul be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?' So is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God." So what did God call this I-boy? This I-farmer? This my-bar man? What did he call him? He said he was a fool. And the reason why he was a fool is because all of his efforts, all of his energies, all of his work was wrapped up in the things of this world. And God reminded him, "You have an appointment with death. And it's coming this afternoon. And you can't take one bit of your riches with you." He had to leave them all behind. And you and I will too. And that appointment is one that all of us have. The writer of Hebrews says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. So this man wasn't the only man that has an appointment with death. Now, will you keep that appointment as a fool? Who's worked for everything that you have to leave behind? So is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. The challenge, people, for all of us this morning is to not be I-focused, but Christ-focused. Now, what else would you expect for a preacher to tell you? But I'm telling you a truth. A powerful, powerful truth. In Luke 9, verses 23 through 26, it says, "Then Jesus said to them all, 'If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.'" That's how we become Christ focused. Now, where did Jesus put self in this scenario? The first criteria to following Christ is we have to deny ourselves. We have to realize that we are not God. And we never will be. And that we cannot save ourselves. The sage of old Jeremiah said, "It is not in man that walks to direct his steps." We just don't have it. God is the one that directs our lives. And the more we become Christ-centered, the closer we get to laying our hands and our hearts on an eternal promise of a mansion in the heavens above. So deny ourselves, and then what? Take up our crosses. What did Jesus give when he took his cross to Calvary? Gave it all. He didn't leave anything on the table. He gave it all. So what does Jesus mean when he says that we need to take up our cross? It's a very radical decision to follow Christ. Not afar off, but to follow him, walk in his steps. Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse 20, he said, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Paul, there was no way. No way in this world that Paul could have ever endured what he endured had he not crucified self. I mean, Satan knew that Paul was a chosen vessel. Jesus called him that. And he knew that he was going to be an awesome weapon for the cause of Christ. So Satan said, I have got to do everything and anything I can do to try to stop this man. So he whipped him and beat him and stoned him. He put him out in the cold. He was tired when he was hungry, Paul said. He was shipwrecked. On and on it goes when in Paul's description of the things that happened to him. And you know what it was? It was Satan trying to get him to turn back. But Paul wouldn't, because he'd already crucified himself and there wasn't anything to go back to except a dead self. And he wasn't going to go back. Paul said, it's not any choice. For me to live is Christ. Philippians 1 verse 21. What choice are you giving me? Go back to a dead self or go on to a living God? So when Paul made that decision and really did put self to death, there was no decision. In fact, he said, I'm caught between wanting to go on to heaven and staying here. So when the Romans threatened to kill him, Paul just said, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Let's go right ahead. You'll just send me right on to my reward. And he just eat him up, because his life had already been sacrificed to the cause of Christ. And so he said, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus said in Luke 9, verse 24, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. So, this idea of self, what we've come to is Jesus saying, for what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he and he loses his soul. The world is saying, are you getting bigger? And Jesus is saying, are you getting smaller? Sometimes we sing a song. It's a song of progression. It starts off about none of self and all of self and none of thee. And well, first verse says, all of self and none of thee, which describes a lot of this world we're living in today. There are a lot of people that just have no place for God in their lives. And they're looking at us and saying, we don't understand. We're having so much fun. Why aren't y'all over here with us? Why is this Jesus thing mean so much to you? What's Jesus done for you today? Come on over here. We're the ones that's having a good time. All of self and none of thee. And then the next verse says, well, okay, some of self and some of thee. And you know, that's where a lot of people are. That's where some of you are. We're willing to give some of self. All right, we'll come to church every now and then. That's no big. You know, I'm not going to give you all of me. You can have some of me. I'll take your blessings. I'll thank you for your kindnesses, for the doors of opportunities you're open for me. But now, when it comes to giving anything, I need that for myself. So I'll give you some passing compliments. I'll even shake hands with the preacher when I go out the door. But now, don't ask for all of me. So some of us are right here in this sum of self and some of thee. And then the next verse says, less of self and more of thee. That's called growing. That's called maturing. When we begin to realize that it's not my barns. It's not my house. It's not my job. It's not my car. It's not even my children. Because God has given them all. It's all His. So to realize that brings me a whole lot closer to denying self. And then the final verse says, none of self and all of thee. And you know what? That's really where joy is. Our little children have a little song that says, J-O-Y, Jesus first, others second, yourself last. That spells joy. But Jesus said it like this. When asked, what, good master, what is the greatest commandment of all? And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind. And this, upon this commandment rests the law and the promise. And the second is likened unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so, how are you dealing with this problem of self? Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. How are you dealing with these self issues? Where are you? All of self and none of thee? Some of self, some of thee? Less of self, more of thee? Or have you taken that step of crucifying self, and the life that you live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you, which is none of self and all of thee? My friend, if you have not given yourself in obedience to the commandments of the Master, to believe and to be baptized for the remission of your sins, repenting of your sins, confessing that he is the Christ, being baptized, buried, so that the old man can be crucified and you can be raised to walk in newness of life, a new creature whose life is now belongs to Jesus. Will you come? How together we stand and sing.